Welcome back to Disrupt Education. Thank you for our lawyer listeners. If you're first time listener, come on back. We got a lot of great conversations. And if this is your first one, we've got a great guest. Before I get to that guest, Allie, how's it going? What's going on? We got a lot of energy today. So
we have a lot of energy. I think I realize where it's coming from. So this will come out well past the end of this event. So I grew up in Minnesota, and the end of August through Labor Day, they have the Minnesota State Fair, which is the best state fair. Obviously it is one of the biggest, if not the biggest in the United States. And I was there, this past weekend. And, you know, eating all the great fair food and enjoying all the people. But I was thinking about this, as we're going to get to our guest here, is that there are so many technical components to putting together a fair that brings in hundreds of thousands of people every day and millions of people over the course of a 10-day span. And for some people, that is their world. They literally live in that world. And I just thought it was like, you know, like if you're in school and you're like, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And like, man, like the fair life and in engineering that and designing it and the rides and the flow of people and the security. And there's so many different like levels to that, marketing it and everything, that it's just like another area that I don't know that our listeners ever think about. Like event production and fair production is something that they could do or see. And like I was looking at it differently this year when I'm like, wow, like look at all these movers and shakers, and how do they get all these people to work and make sure that the rides are operating and the food is hot and, you know, like everybody has their role, but it's like such a big organism. And so something for people to think about.
Yeah. I mean, it's so big. You can add, when you're drawing people from Wisconsin to Minnesota, I mean, come on, let's be honest. You know, I know you live by the border, but I know people from Milwaukee who ran up there this last weekend. So it's a big deal. I love that look. And that's kind of where we're going today with our guest Sylvester's here. Man, I'm just going to go CTE. Let's go. Sylvester, how you doing, man?
I am doing great. Thank you all for having me. I'm a huge fan of the show. So many great episodes and insights have been shared that have been tremendously valuable to me.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm humbled. And to hear that from somebody who's just moving and shaking in the CTE world, can you give everybody out there basic kind of a bio of who you are and what you're doing now with around education?
Okay, outstanding. So to keep it brief, I'm the CEO of Global CTE Learning. We're an online career tech education company. And we help CTE teachers provide relevant and engaging curriculum, mostly focused around the business cluster of content. So think your business classes, your marketing, entrepreneurship. One of our flagship curriculums is our $50 startup curriculum, where students start a school business on a $50 budget, and they have to execute that within the semester's time. But that's something that a lot of schools find a lot of interest in, especially we have a lot of middle schools that use that, that introduce it in this, from middle school CTE standpoint. And we're over 600 school districts. I spend a lot of time also delivering professional development keynotes and at state CTE summer conferences and that fun stuff. So excited to be here, man.
Yeah, you look him up, and I'm going to tell you, there's a list. I mean, I was like, this guy's everywhere. So let's go. You know, I'm going to kind of lead off here with the question. And I think, you know, as a business educator and a CTE educator, you know, when the world changed a little bit, AKA, you know, there was this thing called a pandemic. People started to see, I think it exposed a lot of different things, but even before that, there was a lot of exposing of, you know, specific routes in education, both, you know, secondary, primary, and then for the most part, post-secondary. CTE has become kind of prevalent. We've had our own administration has brought in a CTE director, and she's wonderful, by the way, if she's listening. But, you know, it's people are starting to look at this as, wait a minute, hold on, maybe we were doing this a little wrong. Over the last maybe 5 years, or even longer? What have you seen as the biggest changes in CTE so far?
I feel like the narrative is slowly starting to shift, and there's becoming more excitement around CTE, and people outside of career tech education that are in education understanding that CTE is the great connector. It is the best way to provide that interdisciplinary approach, because you don't, if you want to bring excitement to an English class or to a math class, connect it, find a way to connect it to CTE, find a way to connect it to a career pathway, especially when you think about the ability to personalize the learning for a student, right? When you do that, you get a chance to make it exciting, right? And I feel like that's one thing, the narrative is starting to shift. And then also not thinking college for all, but thinking more post-secondary success. What's going to happen after high school that we can connect a young learner's interests, passions, and skills to something they care about and that also makes economic sense? And if we're able to provide that foundational learning and support at the high school level, then we really can prepare someone in our local community to be a contributor in that community, to take advantage of the job opportunities that are in that local community, and really be a strong contributor. Along with other things, I'm seeing more movement to competency-based grading, those approaches. I really am excited about that, thinking about how that looks, and then a move toward credentials and finding ways. There's so many different programs available from healthcare to IT for our young learners to leave high school with certifications and credentials. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the things I'm seeing. Yeah.
Nice. Mm.
I have a question for you about this, that like just what you were talking about. So when I think of youth, and we kind of, you didn't know we were talking about this before we started recording, but we were talking about this before we started recording, is that
okay.
Young people, teenagers,
yeah,
they care a lot about making money. And yes, because they're getting their first doses of freedom, mm-hmm, you know, with cars and with jobs and with all of this, which ties so heavily into CTE. And why I think it's potent right now, CTE is such an important connector that you're talking about, is because your English class, your history class, your math class, your science class, whatever class you're in, you could learn how to monetize things you already enjoy. And if you're a young person, you're like, please tell me more, right? So I'm curious, like, I mean, I don't know if it's taboo to talk about it, but like, is that something that CTE tries to, like, you know, bring in like an entrepreneur business marketing type experience to connect to young people?
Peter, I think you'll feel me on this, that if we go one step deeper, I feel like entrepreneurship, an entrepreneurship class can really be a great connector of all of the things that you're saying, because we can start with the passion. What do you care about? What problems do you see in the world that you care about? Like, do you have a skill? You like to paint, you like to draw, you like to do music, you like to work with your hands, a welding class, you want to build fire pits. Like, there's so many different ways to connect all of the other core subjects into an entrepreneurship class. And then, like you said, you keep the young people excited by saying, well, here's a way for you to make money. I'm going to show you how to do that. And then, like, oh, guess what? You know, you need to know, you need to have a break-even point. Do you know what that is? How many of these do you have to sell to break even? So now we just incorporated math. Or then it's like, oh, well, how about you guys make a TikTok for this? Okay, now we just made technology, social media, marketing. And before you make the TikTok, why don't you guys write out a script so you know what you guys are going to say? Now we just had persuasive language, writing. These are all things that one could be captured as competencies. 2, personalizes the learning. And 3, like keeps it relevant and engaging to the learner, because you started with what do you care about? Now let's teach and let's operate from that place.
Yep. I got your back on that, because like, I mean, you know, just today, like we're doing a Teespring competition where, you know, the kids jump into a Teespring for 2 weeks. Right. And the measure, the outcomes are how many people go to your site or click on whatever, you know, you have there, and then how many people buy. Right. And I'm like, I know for you, you know, aunt, uncle got a little money or whatever, they're going to buy, but then, you know, can you repeat that? And then we go right into the Dunning-Kruger curve, right? Like, you know, that's psychology, man. You're like, everybody's day one, they're like, yeah, man, we're going to create these shirts and they're going to be awesome. And then day three, they're like, I don't know anymore, you know, yeah. But then we talk about that and like pulling those things out. It was funny also, Sylvester, you mentioned, you know, math. And I think a lot of districts do some pretty cool stuff. And I'm sure you talk about it and seen, and you have things through CTE. Math and CTE are just like connected, man. Like we have building our construction and math course that we have and some of those things. And one of the things that happened today is I teach in a math class because we're doing, actually there's construction on our school right now. And I remember I pulled up the overhead thing, and underneath there was an equation, you know, it's got the X's and Y's. And I just put a couple of dollar signs around the numbers. And then I equaled Mr. H makes more dollar signs. And the kids started laughing. I'm like, yeah, but if you really knew what that meant and how to use it, you'll make more dollar signs too. So I love that. And with that being said, like, what are some of the most, you know, the interesting things like you see, like talk more. I mean, you have the $50 competition or the stuff that you all put out there. What are some of the other cool things that, you know, maybe are top of list that they're connecting CTE with those core classes that, you know, like just that's where a ton of people love? Cause I love that. I wish I had that in school.
Yeah. I'll stick with, I use one of our school partners that's actually in Illinois, mm-hmm. Evanston Township.
Yep.
So that's one of our long-term partners, and they have an algebra and entrepreneurship class for ninth grade. And I think it's very interesting how they approach that from a way maybe some students who are struggling with math or not interested in it from that standpoint. They connected with the entrepreneurship component, and it's actually between both departments through CTE and the math department. So each class has a math teacher in there as well as a CTE business instructor. So they collaborate throughout the year. It's project-based. For anyone who is listening, I think it's super critical to try to find ways to create experiences for our students. I think you get better outcomes, you increase the engagement, you increase the excitement from the students, and make it honestly easier on the teacher when you find ways to create unique experiences on the front end. You think about that. That's probably a big one for me. One thing we're also doing that I think is interesting now is we're offering badges in a lot of our courses. So think a business course and you create your business model canvas, you're able to share that work with us. And then now the student is able to earn a business model canvas badge. So that's showing them a way to track their learning, the skill acquisition, and things that they can put on LinkedIn as they're looking for a job. Or in our digital marketing curriculum, they can earn a social media marketing badge. Those sorts of things help them as they go out and seek internships or people understanding what they're doing. One thing you said, Peter, that caught my attention from your class that you're mm-hmm. running. We're both on the Durable Skills Advisory Committee, mm-hmm. and that's something that's super important to us. We actually have curriculum around that too. But to add a communications piece, like you were saying, we all know that you may have the aunts or uncles, but if you make everyone create a 15 person list that they have to reach out to contact? And what are you going to say, whether it's through text message or email? Then you elevate that, even you find a way to incorporate that durable skill of communication in there too. And I think that's also something that's very important for our educators and listeners.
When I think of CTE and how it's like even evolved as like being an educator, or like when I was a student, it was still, you know, like tech ed or shop class. And it's like just evolved so much in 20 years, and it continues. But in your work that you do, Sylvester, like, what do people still kind of have like misconceptions about CTE? And like, what would you, you know, what are conversations that kind of help get rid of those misconceptions? Because you know, we want our listeners and those on the podcast to have like a really robust understanding of CTE. And I think you will have an opinion and kind of a background that most of our guests don't in just the work that you do. So what can you share about that?
I think it's a big part of the current version of the American dream that we all have been sold and bought into, that you graduate high school and you go to college, right? It's nothing wrong with that. And absolutely, for some people, that makes sense. But I think we should be a little more intentional now about uncovering the skills and the passions and the interest of our learners before they graduate high school. How much exposure can we have? Can we get for them into different career options, where we showcase them everything that is possible post-secondary? We're talking lifelong learners, not just go to college, but there's so many great opportunities, careers that do not require a four-year college degree and that may align with people's interests. And then we're also moving into a space. It is changing from the workforce standpoint. I just had one of the directors of opportunity from Walmart.org, right, which is the foundation side. The work they're doing and the conversations that we had around degree requirements and how many companies, Fortune 500 companies, that are getting rid of degree requirements for jobs is something that education as an institution, like our K-12, we need to be more mindful of, so we can better prepare our students who are going to go into our community and work in the workforce, right? We need to prepare them with all of the opportunities that are available. So there's so many post-secondary opportunities in healthcare that don't require 4 years. And it may just be getting into the door, and then maybe the company pays for you to go back to school. So for the next promotion, once you figured it out, instead of just going to college necessarily right out the gate. Now, I went to college myself, so I'm not saying that's not important, but I think we should expand our horizon of what a great opportunity after high school looks like and what is available. And that's tech jobs, not just things with your hands, all the stuff going on in artificial intelligence, coding. There's so many opportunities that don't require that four-year degree that should just be considered for some students. Yeah.
And add cybersecurity in there. Absolutely. It's interesting because, yeah, shout out to Evanston. I've actually, you know, I know a few people up in Evanston. I'm in the South Burbs, they're in the North Burbs, but wonderful school, very innovative. They try things, they fail at things. There's controversy, but you know, I think like when you're in a school district like that, that means you're innovating, right? I mean, if everybody's just quiet, you know, I mean, it just, you got to ruffle some feathers. And they do a really good job up there. They have a great building program as well up there. It's a great community up there. A lot of good food up there too.
Yeah, their geometry and construction class. Yep. They're building homes
every year. They build homes, and we're talking like Allie, like this is like a Chicago suburb. There's not a lot of land, so there's a lot of movement and real estate work. I mean, they do some amazing things.
One of my other school partners in South Dakota, they are it's a CTE school. They are building homes, acquiring the land, and actually selling selling the homes, right? Mm-hmm. And inside of the school, the kids, they have cabinetry. Like they're making all the cabinets, flooring, the construction, fully laying out the entire home in all competency-based grading, real-world projects. And the students get a chance to see the house from the idea, the paperwork, all the way to the blueprints, all the way to the build-out.
Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, truly amazing. And, you know, when you see these things, I completely agree. I think that being exposed and having conversations and even like experiencing in those project-based learning moments that you're talking about, in a school situation, especially like secondary school, is super important. You know, and again, I'm a product of college. I mean, I went to undergrad and everything, and that's why I'm doing this, as a matter of fact, because my freshman year I learned, hey, this radio stuff and this production stuff is kind of cool. Luckily enough, you know, I had the means, or my grandfather was the one who had the means to pay for me. So what two kind of things there, you know, you talk about like, okay, it used to be like, this is going to be the path of your education. If you don't do it, you ain't going to make no money, da, 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 da. But then we're taking away skills to get to that point. And that point is as far reach for a lot of young men and women. And I think the other thing is, you know, going into something like that in the Dakotas, that's an amazing, amazing opportunity. I'm going to go into, you know, questioning, okay, so what is equitable education to you? Because when you're talking about like, I want my kid to be building that, right? Like, and he would, I think he would love that, or at least be exposed to it to try it out. In some areas, maybe it doesn't work. I don't know, but I just kind of wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, equitable education. What does that mean to you? And how do you interweave like CTE? What does CTE equitable education look like to you? So we'll just go to what you think equitable education looks like. Yeah, I'm just dropping a bomb right there, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, man, you know, that is really something, because that's a great question. And I think it's an ongoing conversation of trying to create high quality learning experiences for all students, no matter geographically where they're located. Because I know we work with so many school partners that I see the differences in the well-funded districts, the ones that have innovative leaders. I see the ones who have too many adults getting in the way of the actual learning, you know, teachers who are handcuffed, like who can't do things that are best for the students. But I think if we can all just have a student first type of mindset, like what's best for these kids,
right?
What is best for the kids? And I know that can be a challenging conversation to have, but I really, that's a personal goal of mine, is to see more equity in education. And how we get there, I'm going to say a lot of collaboration. Like the places that I see who do it well, from school districts. So think about how, if you're listening to this, you're an administrator, how are you collaborating with your teachers, with your parents, with your students? Like how are we making sure the voices are heard with your local community in terms of your business community? I think that's important. But then also from the state level, like how engaged is the state? How connected is the community college with the four-year colleges, with the K-12, with the governor's office, with the funding that's coming down? Like if you can line up in the perfect world, all of that from a collaboration standpoint of thinking what is, with the mindset of what is best for students, how is our education system reflecting what our current job market needs? Are we connecting with industry partners so we make sure we are teaching what they have opportunities for now and in the future? And then also, how are we thinking about maybe the groups who have been underrepresented, maybe in certain fields or industries, women, minorities, whatever the case may be, to help support those groups that may need a little extra support. Mm-hmm. And that requires a lot of collaboration and open-mindedness and almost rethinking the entire approach.
Yeah.
It really does. I have a follow-up question to this topic, because it ties into the work that you do with CTA and these partnerships and different types of classes that, you know, are weaved into the core, that, you know, the long-term partnerships, you know, I'm thinking about like this Evanston community or the South Dakota community, and in 5 to 10 years, you know, what kind of transformation that can have on a community. And then I don't know, don't hold me on like the exact statistic here, but I do know that it is a majority of people within 10 years of graduating high school move back to like within, it's like a 10-mile radius mm-hmm. of where they grew up. It's a majority of people, right? So this investment into the community that you grew up in and the schools being at a core component of that, I'm interested in, you know, what have you seen transformation-wise with school partners that you work with who do these types of investing in collaborations and experiences? If you can, you know, think of an example or two, and to inspire other people who are kind of like on the fence with this, that it's a long-term game, what you're talking about, and these career paths and these career options. But when you really see it as like, we're building the community from the school level and beyond, I think there's this transformation piece that people may be missing.
Yeah, Les, thank you so much for this great question. And I'm going to actually use South Dakota as an example. Last year, I was invited to do the keynote for their 50th year summer CTE conference. And one of the gentlemen that I met and we talked for a while, he has he's a principal at a CTE school. And he talked to me about how there's a great partnership with the community college. So we're thinking dual credit, right? So that part, but then also the business community is offering experiences to bring those students onto their job sites early, from middle school to high school. They're having these experiences. They're going to an automotive shop. They're going to the forestry company. They're seeing these jobs, these careers, these big machines that people are using, they're getting excited about it. They're learning the careers that are available, whether they require college degrees or not. They're learning about that stuff early. But then also the governor's office, like they're all the way from the state down, are on the same page. And I was like, wow, this is so harmonious as it relates to the collaboration that, like, from the state to K-12 to the community college to the four-year colleges are all on the same page of how do we best serve our people, our students, our teachers, our learners, our future workforce, and how do we excite them to want to stay here, right? So I think when you think about that, if everyone's taking a, well, what's in it for me, the local economy grows when people who are from it, who care about it, stay, work here, and thrive and participate actively in the economy as good contributing citizens. That's what we're looking for. And if we're intentional about that, then people need jobs. People need careers. So what are the jobs of now and what are the ones of tomorrow? Another great example in Seattle, a friend of mine is the principal, was the founding principal of the Maritime High School. So in Seattle, they recognized that there was going to be a lot of people retiring who work in the maritime industry. So think the ships, all of that, people who don't understand what we're talking about. They part the Port of Seattle partnered with the city, partnered with, I think it's High Line as the school district, to create a maritime high school. So kids, 9th, 10th graders are getting maritime certifications in the 10th, 11th grade. So when they do graduate, there are $60,000 plus jobs waiting on them, and they already have the experience. So they'll probably stay. They'll probably get an apartment, a house, buy a car. Like, so now they're active contributing members of the community. And then from an equity standpoint, they've also been very intentional about bringing in underrepresented groups from who are usually not a part of that industry. That matters. And so I think being intentional from that standpoint takes a lot of planning, a lot of coordination, a lot of putting our egos to the side and really saying what is best for the kids, what is best for the future generation, the long-term sustainability of our local economy.
We just came off a couple of podcasts talking about social emotional learning. I think a lot of CTE pieces and project-based pieces where students can walk away not only with like a badge that you're talking about, but also like confidence in what they know. And then we'll even tie it right back into those durable skills. If they know their top three durable skills, you know, walking out of school, I think that for me is where I'm going. That's what I'm trying to do for students as well, is building those skills, building those skills into a student. Because we even have seniors right now and you ask them, you know, what are you good at? And they'll be like, I don't know, math. And it's like, maybe you are, but can you explain that more? Like, how can you apply it in those things? And that's what I love about when we start talking about CTE and what you do. So with that being said, obviously, you know, there is a lot of community. I hear a lot of, you know, a lot of people on the same page. I want to get down into like kind of the dirt of actually building this, right? And I think, our previous guest, used the word imagination. But let's just go there. Sylvester, you're now like, you know, they built the maritime school. What type of school would you build and what would it look like? Let's go ergonomics. Let's go like, you know, day. What does it look like during the day? Is there a schedule? I'm just gonna throw all that out there. Be imaginative.
So, one of the things that I spend my quote unquote free time in as a civic give back is with an organization called Show Me the World Project, mm-hmm. where we take inner city kids from St. Louis to travel to places like Costa Rica to learn about science, culture. We connect the entrepreneurial project to it, where they actually run a coffee business out of that. Why? Because some of the best coffee in the world comes from Costa Rica. And while the students are in Costa Rica, they actually visit coffee farms that where they're learning about agriculture and entrepreneurship connected, as well as all of the STEM pieces that are there, hiking rainforests and that sort of thing. But finding an opportunity from a global standpoint, I believe our world is more connected than ever. So my school would be centered around global competency and global travel. So at least twice before a kid graduates in my high school, they would have two international traveling experiences. I would also focus it all around competencies where we're not, there's no letter grades or any of that. It's all competency based, right? With verifiable work. So we're doing projects only. And at the core, the principles would be entrepreneurship so that we can create experiences through that and global travel so that we can learn culture from others, collaboration, those durable skills, communication, critical thinking, being around other people from that standpoint. And everyone would graduate with at least one credential that's connected to a career. So lots of career exploration starting early so that they can be exposed to the different opportunities that exist so that they can find themselves in the work. I feel like you find yourself in the work, then you get excited about the learning that's required. You connect that to your passion. Feel like you find your purpose, you find your purpose, then everything else that you have to do makes more sense. So that's just brainstorming off the top of my head. That's what
having been to Costa Rica and I'm picturing like the coffee making plants and like all the science and the rich history of it, and certainly the economics and just like understanding where your food comes from or coffee comes from or anything where it comes from is such a huge piece. And it can spark that, like, you know, if you had a local coffee shop, you understand like so much deeper, like how not only that serves the community where you live, but the community and communities that also you like are pulling into and from in order to make that coffee shop run. It like gives you such a wider perspective. And the reverse engineering component of a school like that, like you can read all of the books that you want, but without a purpose or a way to direct that learning, it gets lost. You know, it's just like a brain dump. I mean, I just remember so many students being like, well, yeah, I like learned that for the test, but I'm not going to remember it. You know, after that, there's no continuation because there's no purpose. There's nothing to like really hold it onto. And like, you know, learning is a muscle, and certainly like just exposing students to the current curriculum, like gets them using their brain muscle, but it could be so much more directed, be so much more purposeful. And the picture you paint is very much that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and it's funny you say that about the coffee shop standpoint. So in that program, the Show Me the World project, the students, every Saturday, they're at the local farmers market selling coffee. That's in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. They manage the website, the e-commerce component. So they're learning that. They learn to roast coffee. They learn the branding, the marketing, their sales pitch. So we're adding those durable skills of communication in there. And then when we travel to a place like Costa Rica, you're learning about, like you said, where your food comes from. You learn about, one, the people in Costa Rica are, depending on what you look at, they say are some of the happiest in the world. The Pura Vida philosophy, meaning don't sweat the small stuff. Your cell phone battery died, like, oh, you're going to lose it. Like, no, it's not that serious. But understanding to appreciate where you are and what you have, that all comes from travel. Not only that, but also understanding that if you grow a coffee plant on the side of a volcano, why on the side of a volcano? Because volcanic soil is the most nutrient rich. And if you grow it at a high elevation, you can produce some of the best coffee in the world, right? So then you can, and what can you do with that? Importing and exporting. So now they're learned, like they learn all of that from just travel, like, or you hold that little carrot out there of travel. And then not only that, we're the group of students that we work with is from one of the roughest neighborhoods in St. Louis, where lots of crime, lots of gun violence. Travel changes families. It opens your mind. Like what you were saying earlier, Peter, I wanted to comment on about the belief, the imagination. That's the biggest thing that we can transfer to our students in our classroom. Forget the core subjects and all that, but to believe in yourself, to believe your ideas are valuable, to believe that you can have a desire to do something, work for it, persist, and it actually go your way. That, oh man, you just open up the entire world for a kid. And then that impacts people's families when we see our kids first to have a passport in their family, first to be on an airplane, first to travel internationally. Now that comes, now what do you think the little cousins, the little brothers, the little sisters, their neighbors, who have souvenirs now from some random place in Central America. They're like, oh, I want to do that. I never thought about that. It's okay. It's okay for me to leave. It's okay for me to travel, to go somewhere, you know? So I think that transferring that belief system, that's a powerful, powerful thing.
I'm going to agree with Ali here. I've never heard anybody talk about international. I mean, the funny thing is that's how this whole podcast started. So it was because I went on an EF tour and with a Fabric of Oak Park River Forest High School, where, like you said, we had kids who could write the check right away. And we had kids that were like, there is no way I can afford this. And we made it happen. And that was the beauty of that. But you're right. It was very, very imaginative. And I like that. And I got to hand that to Andy Pass. He was the one who said that on our previous podcast. But I do like, you know, how you expanded that into belief and really building not just skills, but like, you know, confidence in what you can do, because everybody can do some amazing things. So, but before we round this out and we ask, you know, how people can connect with you and everything, I got to ask Ali, what are your final thoughts? I'm still going from imagination to belief, but what are your final thoughts?
We can't emphasize enough how important it is to expose young people to options and not just drill college as the main path. And it does require people at all levels, you know, the communities, parents, school counselors, teachers, administrators, those in the state, federal level, like allowing more of these types of opportunities to happen. And then just if you are in like a, you know, a handcuff type school district or community where you feel like school is just the same as it has been, imagine and believe, right, that 5 to 10 years of change can totally transform the community that you live in, and it's never too late to get started. And so it's just like that, if you're looking to do things differently, it sounds like Sylvester has some programs as well as my company. Like this CT can be really a gateway for that. And I think more school districts need to kind of expand, and school leaders and communities need to kind of look at what does it look like to really invest in our community in innovative ways and have schools be at the center of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything you want to add, Sylvester, before we get your information?
I would just leave the audience with, take the time to continue learning from a professional development standpoint. What are all the opportunities that exist now for your students after high school? Take a little time, do a Google search, watch a webinar, you know, just spend a little more time understanding that, so that as you recognize your learners' passions and interests, you can offer up other exploratory opportunities for them, as Ali said. Yeah.
I love that. That's the reason I come back every year, 21 years so far. So we'll see where it goes. But I know people are going to reach out and try to figure out, okay, how do we get connected, or how do we talk more about this? So Sylvester, how can people connect with you and also the organization?
Well, easy. Find me on LinkedIn. Shoot me a DM, Sylvester Chisholm. Or you can visit our website, globalcte.com. Or you can also type in Career Tech Education Podcast on Google, and we should pop up. We've got a great podcast with a lot of great guests. Excited to have Peter on as one of our awesome guests coming up here really soon. So I'm here to serve. This is my life's work, to really connect, prepare the next generation of leaders in our country. So I'm here to support our educators. So feel free to just reach out.
And that's what I did. And I tell you what, we got some great conversations and such on. So, and yes, it's a wonderful podcast. Where can people find that podcast?
You can find it on Spotify, on iTunes. Just type in Global CTE podcast.
Yep. And we'll put all these links in the notes of this podcast. I'm humbled to be a part of that as well. But we're going to move on. But thank you, Sylvester. Reach out if you're interested. There are so many different ways that CTE can connect, well, with what I do, academics and reality. And there's a lot of different places. And I got to tell you, this guy's seen a lot. And just thanks for sharing your amazing stories. For Ali Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you all. If you're first time listening, if you've been a listener, we appreciate you. We'll catch you next time on the Disrupt Education Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co. Or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Ali Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.